As you know, we've been going through several weeks of studying about the seven spirits of God that we found in the book of Revelation. And in those seven spirits, one of them is the might of God. And that's what we're going to be going over. These seven spirits could also be known as the seven attributes of God that He wishes to give to bestow upon His people. Those seven attributes are marvelous and they're mighty. The first one that God wants us to understand is the fear of God. Amen. You look at how the fear of God is. You look at where it's mentioned in the Bible, what it really means. It's more than just reverence. Amen. Jesus said, don't fear the man who's able just to take your life, but fear him who's able to take your life and cast your soul into hell. Amen. Kill me, send me home. Right? No big deal there. But when I get there, I want to be welcomed into the kingdom of God, right? God's able to take our life and then cast us right into hell. And we need to be prepared for that. We need to be holy and set apart and have a reverence, a fear, an awesomeness. God also desires to give us His wisdom, the spirit of wisdom. Oh, to have that, you know, to know things, to truly wrap your mind just around a speck of who God really is. The wisdom of God. To understand what is right and what is wrong in our time. That only comes from firm knowledge of who God is and the wisdom He has provided. And again, along with that is knowledge. It's more than just knowing about God, but it's knowing God. He is real. He's personal. He wants you to have a deep fellowship with Him that will move you, that will bring you into the next Spirit of God, which is understanding. The more you know about Him, the more you understand Him, the more holy He is to you, the more sinful you are, you know, the more you understand the mighty awesomeness of God and how short you come to that mark. Boy, I tell you, that's a great understanding, and God brings us to that understanding. And in that understanding, then He gives us counsel. He says, yeah, you understand where you are, you understand where I am, at least as much as you can at any one point. Let me give you counsel where you can come up here. Let me give you counsel. Let me tell you what is wrong in your life through my word that will bring you to a deeper understanding, a more encompassing knowledge, and a deeper wisdom for the times that you're living in. And He brings you up there. You know, when you were born again, John 3:16 was good enough. Amen? For God so loved the world. Praise God, that's great. But as you got a little bit older in Christ, as you started walking with it, all of a sudden John 3:17, 3:18, 3:19 starts coming to mind. Wow, this is salvation. This is what it looks like. This is why men don't get saved, because they love darkness rather than light. And then the understanding that God wants you to have that light so much that He sent His Son, right? That those understandings, they become deeper and more wonderful. Oh, the longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows, right? And then that's the counsel. And today we're going to be talking about the might of God. Oh, this spirit of might. How God wants us to understand this. And we'll be starting in Psalm 24. So let me go to the Lord in prayer even before we get started in this. Dear Father, we love You and we praise You. Lord, I'm asking even now, Lord Jesus, that You would speak to Your people, the church. Father, You say several times in Your unveiling in the revelation that we could hear what the Spirit says to the church. Father, I'm praying that You would speak, that You would send Your Spirit, that Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of wisdom and knowledge, the fear of God, the counsel of God, Lord, that we would wrap our hearts and our minds around the holy might of God. Father, because in these days, these times that we're living in, we need a mighty Savior. We need the might. We need the strength. We need the power of the Most High God. Father, as we unveil this today, as we unwrap it just a little bit, I pray that You would take this human mind, Lord God, and that You would give extraordinary wisdom. Father, not that I would ever say anything, Lord Jesus, but You would use this mouth as Your tool. Father, that You would use Your Holy Spirit to prick the hearts of men in this time that we're living in. Father, and I ask that You would move mighty over that. Show us Your might. And we ask those things in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 24. understand this about the might of God. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing of the Lord and the righteousness of God, of the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek the face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and lift up ye everlasting doors. The King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The strong and the mighty Lord. Amen. The strong and the mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle. Oh, lift up your hands, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Oh, who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Amen. You look at just at that psalm that David wrote, the Psalm of David, and he said, listen, we need to be looking to the hills from where our help comes from. We need to understand that the fullness of this earth, now catch this, that God in his might spoke everything that is made. He spoke it out of nothing. He made everything. You want to talk about might? When God said and it happened, you got some might there. You got some power. You got some strength. You got some understanding that's outside of what we can wrap our hearts and mind around. I tell you what, God, our God, is a mighty God. Think about your salvation. Just wrap your mind around that. If you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart and you've understood what he's called you to be, you were lost, dead, and dead, not dying, but dead and going to hell. And God met you in the middle of your mess and called you out of that darkness and into his light. Oh, praise God. He gave you a new birth, a spiritual birth, to overwhelm this natural life that you lived in and give you a power that is well beyond anything that you can understand. But the power only derives from an understanding and a knowledge and a fear of the Most High God. The more you know him, the more power you might receive from him. Do you know that there are levels? Let me put it to you this way. The more God can trust you, the greater and more intense the revealing of his reality. Now, did you hear that? The more God can trust you, right? Because let me put it to you this way. Any of y'all ever had teenage kids? All right? 13 years old. Dad, I want to borrow the car. No. No, you can't. Not just because it's against... Well, let's even go a little bit older. You got a 21-year-old kid that can't keep his head out of the bottle, right? Hey, Dad, I want to borrow the car. No. Because you haven't come up to the responsibility of taking something that is mine, my power, my authority, my insurance, and going out on the road with it. Amen? So no, you can't. See, God has that same attitude towards us. It's not that he doesn't love us, but he wants us to come up to the spot of responsibility. He wants to give you the keys to the kingdom. He wants to give you the keys to the car. He wants to open up this storehouse of blessing and dump it out on you, but you can't take it. What's that line from the movie? You can't handle the truth. Right? You can't. I want to give you all of this. I got all of this in the storehouses of heaven, and I want to take it and dump it out on you. But you don't fear me, you don't trust me, you're not seeking my understanding, my wisdom, my knowledge. So you can't have the full might of God. Amen? But the closer you walk with him, the more you get. The more you lean into him, the more you receive. The more you pour your life out and accept and pour in the might and the knowledge of God, the better it gets. So the only thing between you and the might of God is yourself. All right? It's your sin. Well, God, I would love to follow you, but I can't get off Facebook long enough to read my Bible. Oh, well then, don't expect to go any further with God. You've reached your plateau. You trust this world system more than you trust the system of God. God's saying, listen, I want to give you more than what you can expect here on this earth, but first you've got to let go of this earth. You cannot stay where you are and go with God.
Amen.
You've got to get out of who you think this illusion of life, this illusion of wealth, this illusion of this world. If you really want the power and the majesty of God, you've got to die to this world. You've got to get out of this stinking thinking that this illusion has anything for the child of God. This ain't nothing compared to what you could have. So why are we stuck in what we have instead of what we could have? The majesty, the might, the wisdom, the understanding, the power of the Most High God. It's in a box and it has your name on it. Alright? The only reason we ain't receiving it is because we love this illusion more than we love the reality of the kingdom. Oh, there's might in God. But God's got to do a work in us. See, His reality, the who God is, the power and the authority that He is, and what He is accomplishing in and around you. Again, you got to ask yourself, can God trust me with His power, with His might? It's not that He doesn't want to give it to you. Can I trust you with it? And I got this great thing. And I want to give it. I want to give it to you. But I know that you're not able to take it. I know that if I give it to you, you're just going to abuse it. You're not going to use it to its fullness. You're only going to use it in the fleshly realm. You're not going to bring it to the spiritual kingdom. And God says, I will not give my riches to dogs. Iniquity. We're living in iniquity and we're missing the power and the might of God. We're living in our sin and we're missing the glory of the Most High God. We're following stupid TV evangelists and people that don't even read their Bibles. Following professors and PhDs. You're following Fauci and you're following the president. You're following the world system. You're following Facebook. You're following Google. But you're not following God. God says, listen, I want to uncork software. I got something for you. It's better than what this world can do. I got a power. I got a might. But again, you can't handle it yet. You can't handle it. You can't wrap your mind around it because you're too stuck in this world. Oh, come on, church. It's time for us to wake up out of our slumber. Right? It's high time that we awoke. It's high time that we got out of our own minds and got into the righteousness of God. See, before David was king, God tested him. Tested him with a lion, tested him with a bear, tested him with his heart. When he was alone in the wilderness, tending sheep, he just sat down on rocks and he was playing his harp and he was glorifying God. Oh, Lord, I love you. I'm writing these songs. Oh, they're so good. Oh, thank you, Lord. And he's speaking to God and God's speaking to him, revealing him things to him. And then he comes to the battle, right? And he sees this Goliath. Who here has a Goliath that's mocking God? Amen? They're mocking God. The teachers with the CRT, they're mocking God. Same-sex marriage is mocking God. You can change your gender, that's mocking God. Trusting this world over the realities of the kingdom, that's mocking God. So who's your Goliath? Right, that Goliath, he's mocking God. He's standing in front of the children of the Most High, and God's looking for a person to stand up and pick up a rock. See, God didn't use David mightily until David stepped into the battlefield. God had prepared his heart in the wilderness. He fought the lion, he fought the bear, and he was victorious over that. Who here is still fighting lions and bears? Hey, we're fighting lions and bears, but there's Goliath out there. We're fighting the wrong battle, but he's preparing you today for the things he's going to show you tomorrow. There's a Goliath you'll be able to take down tomorrow, but you got to show yourself worthy in the wilderness. You got to be worthy with the lion. You got to be worthy with the bear. You got to be worthy dealing with your own iniquity. It's your sin that's stopping you. Nobody else's. And when the time was right, when he had his right life, he had his right worship on. Amen? He got his worship on. He was praising God. He was faithful and loyal to God. He was reading his word, applying it in his life in a daily manner. Then God brought him to the battlefield. He showed him this thing that he could not overcome. He said, you're worthy of my might. Today, David, you're worthy of my might. Today, you're worthy of his might. If you will get God right in your heart, if you'll get the holy God right in your heart, you can be worthy of a tool in the Most High God. So David, yeah, he just walked up. He picked up a couple stones. He chunked it. Who killed the giant? Wasn't Goliath. Or, excuse me, wasn't David. David just chunked the stone. God took that little bitty stone, struck the giant, and killed him. It wasn't David. Do you think Moses parted the sea? No, he didn't. You know what Moses did? Lifted a stick. That's all he did. God said, see the mighty hand. Watch my mighty hand. In fact, tell the people to do something foolish. Walk towards the sea while the army is behind you. Do something that's completely ridiculous that I can show you my might. Now, when you get there, Moses, pick up a stick. Your stick. It's not just any stick. It was a special stick. God gave it to him. So he lifts the stick, and what happens? The hand, the mighty hand of God comes, and he parts the sea. And not only does he part the sea, he sucks all of the moisture out of the dirt because they walked on a dry land. Dry land. There was no water there anymore. When he separated, it was separated to the bedrock. And when the promised people got across, he closed them up and killed the enemy. That's a mighty hand of God. And he used a regular man, Moses. Moses was a murderer. He was a liar. He was a coward. Right? That's who he was. But God used him because he took him to the backside of the wilderness and he taught him the deeper things of the Lord. He taught him how to love the simplest things. He taught him how to be a shepherd. Amen. That's who we're supposed to be. But our problem, Kevin, isn't that God doesn't have this for us. It's that we refuse to take it. How many of us here really will turn off the technology long enough to get alone with God? Really, days of your life? As the stomach churns? Okay. Mountain Men. John Wayne movies. Alright, let's make a list. Driving around in circles really fast. Okay. Big deal. It's stopping you from the deepness of God. Those things, the prince of the power of the air, has your ears, has your eyes, has your mind, has your heart. God's saying, I'm a mighty God. I have victory over all of these things. The only problem is you don't want it bad enough to take it. You got to want it. Do you really want the might and the power of God? Do you want to do what Moses did? You can. You know that you can. First, you got to get alone with God. You got to get away from all the noise. Oh, man, I want the might of God. I want it. I want it bad enough. I want it so bad, I rip the cable out of the wall. Amen? I'll patch the drywall later. Right? Tear it up. Get rid of it. Go outside and cut it off the pole. Get it where you cannot get it back. And then come to God. Say, God, this is an offering unto you. This is an offering unto you. I prefer you over this. I prefer you, God, more than this thing. God will show you his might. He'll show you his power. Moses, he was tested. Oh, and again, David was tested in the wilderness. Moses was tested in the land of Midian. Gideon, he was tested. Catch this. When the angel of the Lord, which I believe was a Christophany, was Christ, because he accepted worship. Alright, so God came to Gideon, found him gleaning his wheat in a wine vat where there is no air circulation, which is a stupid place to clean your wheat. But he found him there. He said, listen, Gid, if you will do what I tell you, I will deliver the people through you. Who here wants to be a vessel like that? You know, what was the thing that God told Gideon to do? Go to your daddy's house, tear his temple down. Church. Go to your daddy's belief system. Tear that garbage down. Tear that garbage down because it ain't Bible. Come back to the understanding of who God is and get all this trash out of your life. And you do that, you can experience the mighty hand of God. But until you do that, be happy where you're at because he will not call you to the next level. God's a holy God. He's a mighty God. And he expects his people to walk in obedience to him. Gideon was tested. Moses was tested. And this list, we could go on. You go to Hebrews 11, right? And you go through that hall of faith. Every single one of them had to make a choice for God. Every single one of them had to let go of this earth. Every single one of them said, I'm willing to take on the suffering that I might experience the glory. Amen? That glory is the power of God. It's the might of God. It's the strength of God. How do you conquer kingdoms? It's not by your strength. It's not by your strength, because if you could do it, everybody would. It is the power of God that brings those things down. And the only way that we could truly understand and grasp the might, the power of God, is to die to ourselves. We must crucify this flesh that we might be glorified together with the Lord. And every single person that God used had a choice. There was a crossroad that came in their life. And they were either going to trust what they could do, or they're going to trust what God could do. And if they had to trust what God could do, they had to let go of what they were doing. You cannot go with God and stay where you are. You can't experience the might of God and live where you're at. Church, we are so far away from where we need to be. The whole of the church in America, especially. I can't talk about other places, but I really think we're experiencing the falling away. We're giving over to, we're heaping to ourselves teachers with itching ears. You know what that means? You just want a pastor that's going to puff you up, fluff your pillow, right? Yeah, amen. Smooth, talk sweet to me, be nice to me. You're not going to get that here, because I love you too much. I'm the doctor that will tell you, your arm's broken, we're going to set it, it's going to hurt. Hold on. Bite this stick. We're going to snatch it into place. Amen? She's looking, oh. But a doctor that really loves you, a doctor that really cares about you, is going to take you through the hard part to get you well enough to experience the fullness of life. If it doesn't hurt, it ain't worth it. Amen? You want something free? It's worth everything you put into it. You want the might of God? You've got to learn how to walk in the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding of God, taking the counsel of God in full. Abraham, man, what a guy. Abraham, chapter 22, Genesis, verses 1 and 2. And it came to pass, after these things, God tempted Abraham. He tested him. He calls him by name. And Abraham answered and said, here am I, or here I am. Now understand this, Abraham had been walking with God, God had been blessing him, he had gave him a son, the son was probably up in his 30s at this time. So when you come to this story about Abraham sacrificing his son or bringing his son, don't think he's dragging a toddler along behind you.
All right.
This is, if it's an image of Christ, he had to be the age of Christ. Abraham was an old man. God said, bring thy son, thy only son, Isaac. He names Isaac. Bring Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell you of. What a test. Take the thing you love. Take the child that you love. Take that one that you love. God may not call you to this because you ain't Abraham. But I guarantee you, God will call you to something. If you want to see the mighty hand of God, if you want to be blessed by God, He's going to say, trust me more than what you love.
That's right.
He's going to say, get rid of this garbage in your life that you can walk with. Man, I'm not saying that Isaac was garbage. That's not. I'm saying in my personal life, God had to bring me to a place that I had to trust Him more than I trusted the world stuff. Right? He says, bring your son, your only son, Isaac, the one that you love. What do you love? Come on, church. What do you love? What do you prefer more than God? And I know that all of us in our most holy Sunday attitude are saying, I love God more than anything. Okay, Monday morning, what do you love more than God? Fox News? Sleep? Right? I heard that. Sleep. I love my blah, blah, blah. And I don't care what that blah, blah is. If it's taking you away from a relationship with God, if it's taking you away from prayer, if it's taking you away from study, if it's taking you away from time alone with God, well, you know, I've got to do this Facebook thing. You know, I've got to tweet something. Wait a second. God says, I want to be alone with you, and you bring your stupid device with you. The presence of the power of the air. I love you, God, but I've got to be connected to the umbilical cord of Satan here. All right, so I can get all the garbage of the world. How can I worship the Lord if I don't know what Biden just said, or what Trump said, or what this person said, or what that person said, or if I can't follow the economy of the world? Hey, listen, folks, the economy of the world's crashed. Because you got to see it the way that God sees it. It's already a past thing. Amen. God don't care about the wealth of this world. He doesn't care about the president of this world. You know something else he don't care about? He don't care about white. He don't care about black. He don't care about Chinese, Vietnamese. He don't care about none of that stuff. Your pigment does not matter.
Amen.
It's your relationship. There's only two kinds of people, the born again and the lost. That's it. It doesn't matter. Nothing else matters. Now, are you born? Are you walking in the fullness of God? Are you experiencing the might and the power of God? If you're not experiencing His might and His power, you may be worshiping the wrong God. You understand what I said there? If you're not experiencing the fullness of God, you're probably not worshiping the God of experience. Did you catch that? Amen. There's a God. He says, I am here, and if you want to know about me, let go of those things that are holding you back from me. Abraham loved his son. God says, listen, I'm going to test you in this. You might love your car. You might love your wife. You might love your kids. Who here has their kid wagging them? You know, a dog's supposed to wag its tail, not the tail wag the dog. I'd like to come to church, but my kid has a baseball game. You know what, parents? If we would stop tending to that garbage, right? You know what they'd do? They'd stop having baseball games on Sunday. Yeah, if the parents said, no, my kid doesn't have a car, he's not going there. In fact, as long as my kid lives under my house, he's going to church with me, and he's going to learn about God. And make sure you're going to a church that's preaching the Bible. Amen? Not somebody who's preaching some theology from some stupid professor. Now, I say stupid professor on purpose. They might be wise in this world, but Jesus said the ones who are wise in this world are fools to God. You know? I would rather be wise to God and a fool to this world than wise to this world and a fool to God. We've got to love Him more than these things. As you go on down in verse 12, the latter part in Genesis 22, the angel, or Jesus, came and said, I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. See, God wanted to call him up to a place. He wanted to give him something. See, he couldn't give him the promise of the land until he proved himself worthy to accept it. You see? Because right after that, he gives him the promise of the land. All the land is all going to be yours. But see, what he had to do to Abraham is he had to test, do you love me more than these? He asked Peter, hey, do you love me more than these? Do you love me? Do you really love God? Do you want Him to be paramount in your life? Because I got a land to give you, but you can't get it unless you have me first and foremost, unless you are worshiping the one true God with all that you are. And let me tell you, if you start worshiping with all that you are, you'll realize how short you're coming to that mark. And you know what you'll have to do? You'll have to get rid of some more of all that you are. Amen. The more you get rid of all you are, the closer you can get with Jesus. The closer you can get with the truth. But you've got to get rid of yourself. You've got to get rid of your flesh, your heart, your desires. The way you think it ought to be ain't right. You know that? Well, I think it ought to be this way. If it ain't Bible, it ain't right. You can think it ought to be, you can think cars ought to drive on clouds if that's what you think. It ain't going to work. You might think that you're going to get to heaven because you said a prayer when you were 3 years old. Because you got baptized. Well, listen, prayers don't save you. It takes a relationship. It takes a deep desire. It takes a confession. It takes a lifestyle. Right? It's not just, oh, Lord, I repeated after a pastor. Now I'm saved and I can go to heaven no matter what. If that is your theology, you might be going to hell.
Right.
Jesus said, many will come to me in that day saying, Lord, Lord, have we not? And he goes through a list of things. He says, get away from me, you worker of iniquity. Listen, are you living in iniquity willfully? Are you living in sin willfully? God's saying, I'm a mighty, powerful God. I have stuff for you. I've got a way for you. But first thing you've got to do is get right with me. It's more than a prayer. What's that? About worship. It's more than just a song, right? It is more than a song. Worship is more than just singing some melody. It's coming to the realization of who God is. It's coming that He is the Lord that spoke everything into existence. It comes to humility. God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. It's page one. I have five of these. We won't get to them all. Aren't you happy? This might be another 2 week or 3 week or here. God's mighty hand delivers people as they are tested, as they walk and pass the test. You know that? As you're walking with God in this trouble, who here has faced trouble and you want to be delivered out of it? Ooh, I don't want to be delivered out of my trouble. Suck it up. You ain't going to be delivered out of it. You know why? He needs you to go through it. Those three boys in the fire, they had to go into the fire. They couldn't get delivered on the outside. They had to go in it. Nebuchadnezzar could have never saw God manifest, the Son of God, in the fire with them if they had not gone to the fire. And the beautiful thing about that is as they went into the fire, they were not singed, not a hair, not none of their clothes. The only thing that came off in that fire was the stuff that bound them up. If you trust God, you walk in His might, He'll burn off the things that bound you up. But you've got to walk through the fire. Daniel, again. When the government told him he could not pray. He could not pray to nobody but except for the leader of the time. You can't pray except to Darius. And you know what he did? Three times a day. He opened up his windows. Unashamed. I'm going to worship you, Lord God. Well, you're going to be fed to the lions. Who cares? I don't care. And David, Daniel did not know he was going to be delivered until the next morning. Right? When they threw him into that den of lions, he was expecting to be ate. Who here is willing to do that to experience the mighty hand of God? See, it wasn't Daniel that delivered him. It was the mighty hand of God. It wasn't the three boys that delivered them. It was the mighty hand of God that delivered them. But they had to go through the fire. They had to go through the den of lions. Moses had to go through the Red Sea. Right? He had to go through. He had to experience these things before he could be brought up. Before God could give him the commandments of God, he had to walk through the desert. Are you willing to pay the price to experience the mighty hand of God? David. We could go through all of those people. They all had to do it. Deuteronomy 26 and 8 says it this way. The Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand, an outstretched arm, and with great terribleness, with signs and wonders. He brought us into this place and hath given us this land, a land that floweth with milk and honey. What brought them to the land of promise? Was it because they were able to walk for 40 years? It's the mighty hand of God. God brought them through. All those hardships, all those battles, all those things that could have and should have wiped them off because they were just a band of wandering Hebrews. Right? And they were about ready to step into the promised land. God said, it was my hand, it was my arm that brought you through. You walked the walk. You went the way, but I prepared the way for you. Now, all of those who didn't have faith, what did he do? He killed them in the wilderness. Only their offspring were able to go. That mighty hand of God that brought them through. If you don't have faith in the mighty hand of God, you might not make it. Not faith in your works, but the faith in His works. The faith in Him doing it. He brought them through. It wasn't them that brought them through. It wasn't them that did the thing. It was God that did the thing. He was exalted. His mighty works was passed. It was a testing by faith. Will you walk with me? Will you follow me? Will you die to this world? God puts us in impossible places so His mighty arm can deliver the faithful.
That's right.
Right? God puts us in hard places. And I see so many people praying to be released. Oh, Lord, release me from this hard place. Stop. Learn the lesson you got to learn there. Accept it. Relax in it. Is it going to be uncomfortable? Yeah. Is God faithful? Absolutely. Now, do you really believe that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called for His purpose? Do you believe that? All right, you got to believe that enough that no matter what happens, it's going to work out for good. Well, my husband left me. My dog left. I got more money than I got bills. My life is falling apart. Well, maybe God is taking that garbage out of your life so that you can have some peace with Him. Maybe He's taking all of those obstacles out of your way that you can understand the might and the power of God. Maybe He wants to give you some manna, but you're too stuck on Wegmans to get it. Right? God wants to give you something good. He wants to show you what real wealth is. But I got to work on my Sabbath day rest. Because I've got more bills than what God can take care of. Wait a second. God paves the streets with gold, right? Does He have enough? Does His mighty hand have enough? Is His arm strong enough to take you out? To bring you, to supply for you? How are we ever going to know the mighty hand of God if we don't trust that mighty hand of God? God's reaching down and says, listen, I want to help you. Go ahead, trust me.
Oh, but God, I can't trust you. I got to follow the world. The world's my help.
God says, all right, you want the world? See ya. All right. All right. You want that garbage? You can have that garbage. He will give you to the heart's desire. Now, do you really trust God enough to let go of whatever's holding you back? Do you really trust God enough to say, God, You're sovereign. You are absolutely sovereign. No matter what happens, I trust You. Right? I mean, do we really have that kind of faith? Something you've got to settle in your own heart. And you got to ask yourself this, do you really want to see the mighty hand of God? See, if you will not trust Him fully like that, you'll never experience that mighty hand. Because you want to hold on to this world. God says, you want the world, you can have it. What's that? Take the world, but give me Jesus. Right? Do you have that heart, church? Do you really want the God of the Bible? God of the Bible says that if you love this world, the love of the Father is not in you. Do you really want Him? Well, the proof is in the pudding, right? Because it's more than what you say here on Sunday morning. Sunday morning, oh, we all look pretty clean. How about Thursday night? Because this sermon might even last through Monday with you. Right? I don't listen to a lot of modern music and stuff like that anymore, praise God. And I don't listen to the garbage they put over the radios and stuff like that. But there's a song by Casting Crowns. It's between the altar and the door. You come to the altar and you confess all this stuff. You lay it out before God. But before you get to the door, you pick it all back up. God, I want Your mercy. I want Your grace. I want the fullness of God. And so I get up and I feel good, but by the time I hit the door heading out, I've already picked it all back up. I sure got to get out of this preaching right here because there's a stupid football game I got to listen to. I've got to do the things of this world instead of the things that God has called me to. See, we must never believe that we can deliver ourselves. It is the hand of God in which we rise and fall. Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. Not me, but God. All right? If you want to glory in anything, you know that you know Him. That I am the Lord which exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in those things I delight. Do you want to be the light of God? Do you want God's delight? Do you want that? Do you want the mighty hand of God? Do you want that? Well, stop glorying in your might. Stop glorying in your riches. Stop glorying in the things that you can do. Because what God can do is much better than what you can do. Amen. You do the very best you can do, you're going to miss the mark badly. Amen? But you do what God does. You listen to what the Lord tells you, and those things He'll find delight in. This is the delight of God, to show His mighty works to mankind through the faith of His people. Nebuchadnezzar, when he saw one like the Son of Man, changed him. Would he have been able to see one like the Son of Man if the three Hebrew children would have not walked into that fire? He couldn't have seen him. How about you, Christian? You want to get out of your trouble? Well, wait a second. God wants to show His mighty hand. I want to be raptured out before anything happens. Wait, how's God going to show His mighty hand? I want to leave before the trouble starts. Well, wait a second. God's got to show His mighty hand. Well, God will never beat His mind. Wait a second. God crucified His only Son and is well pleasing to Him. It's not that He's going to beat us. He's going to protect us. But we got to go through. Those who endure halfway through. How long do you got to endure? Till the end?
To the end.
I got to endure to... Really, Joshua? I got to endure to the end? All of us, if we want to experience the mighty hand of God, if we want to see His great deliverance, we got to go out through. How far? To the end. Wait, I want to be... No, I want to be blown away. I don't want any of this trouble. I want to just disappear. And then I want God to beat up the rest of the world. And there'll be no Holy Spirit left. There'll be no witness of God left. There'll be no man standing and saying, I will not take this mark. I will not do this. Even though you slay me, yet will I trust Him because I know my Redeemer lives. See, I don't want a pre-trib rapture. I want to go through and show the glory of the Most High God. I want to be prepared not just for the beginning, not for the middle, but I want to go all the way through. I want to be bruised and tattered and torn because Jesus was bruised and tattered and torn for me. Where's the glory of leaving? Where's the glory of running away? Where's the mighty hand of God? Where's the witness? Isaiah 40:31, we all know this. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. And they shall walk and not faint. But what do you got to do first? Wait on the Lord. You've got to have God first and foremost. You've got to be prepared to, no matter what it takes, here I am, God. All right? Things are getting really nasty on this earth. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to settle right down. I'm going to settle down and I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait. Because I've got a promise from God that I'm going to be able to run through this. I'm going to walk through this. I'm not going to get weary through this. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to turn back. Yeah, God says, I have no pleasure in them who turn back. I've come this far by faith. Right? I ain't going to quit. I cannot quit. I will not quit. I will not back down. I'm going to wait on the Lord. I'm going to wait for Him. And whatever He does is holy, right, and just. It's His mighty hand, not mine. It's His glory, not mine. They that wait, those who stand fast, those who live by faith, not by the sight, will experience the mighty hand of God in their life. Yes, God is mighty. He renews strength. He grants wings to soar above the problems. He gives might to run and to walk without fainting. Oh, yeah. Amen. It is His might and His might alone that saves the lost and preserves the righteous. It's His might. not yours, it's not mine. Okay, I have Romans 8:35 through 39, Ephesians 1:17 through 2 and 9, Colossians 1:10 through 29, Ephesians 6:10 through 18, Jeremiah. I got a lot more to say about this. We could do one more, right? Hosea. Amen. All of these things God wants for us, but we got to get to it. We've got to get to where He's at. Remember, God doesn't change. He doesn't move. He doesn't turn to the right nor the left. He has a set plan, and He's going to do that plan. The question is, are you going to be involved in that plan that you might receive the mighty hand of God? Yeah, brother. Oh, I'll tell you here in just a minute. All right, do you got your Bibles ready? Start in Romans. All right, Romans, go to chapter 8. This is just 4, so it shouldn't take me more than an hour or so. Y'all are laughing.
Right.
Talking about the mighty hand of God. Man, this whole chapter is good. How can you just start in the middle of it? But because of... okay. All right, the mighty hand of God. Verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. All right, do you have that? All right, is your spirit bearing witness that with the Spirit of God that y'all are His? All right, amen. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so, we do what?
Suffer
with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now understand this. How are we going to see the might of the Most High God if we don't go through the suffering? Jesus went through suffering for you. Didn't He suffer on the cross? Didn't He suffer before the cross? Even when He was in the garden in prayer, He was sweating, as it were, great drops of blood. Why? Because it was hard. It was hard what He was about ready to do, to become sin for mankind, to die on a cross for your unrighteousness. But He wanted to see the mighty hand of God. In fact, it tells us that He suffered the cross for the glory that would be given to Him. What is that?
Bestowed,
yep, absolutely. He suffered the cross. He put up with it. The embarrassment, the grossness of it. He lived through that. Why? That our glory, His mighty hand, might be seen.
What did He say, Chris?
I'm trying.
What did Jesus say?
When?
Not my will.
Not my will, but thine. Amen? Right, absolutely. It is not my will, but it's thy will. It's not my righteousness, but His righteousness. I must embrace the suffering of God that I can be glorified with Him. That the world can know that there is a mighty God. That He gave me power to stand being tied to a stake and set on fire. He gave me power to stand as the lions are being released and we're being torn apart in the arenas. Right? Why is it that the church today doesn't think that that's going to happen to them? It happened to the church all the way. Well, God loves us more than He loved them. I don't think so. It was the might of God. It's the mighty hand of God. As they sang praises walking into the arena. As they said, as they were wrapped in tar and hung on a post and said, I will be the light of the world. And they set them on fire. That's what the church does. Why? For the glory of God, the mighty hand of God. Say, well, that's not mighty. No, it was. How many people got saved? The church would not be alive today if the church didn't go through what the church went through. There's a church that's going to go through some hard times. But if we want to be glorified with, we've got to go through the suffering. Verse 18, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to compare with the glory which shall be revealed. And this suffering is not ready to be compared to the mighty hand of God that will be given to us. It's prepared. And whatever the world does to me, the might of God is better. Right? That mighty hand of God. For the earnest expectation of the creation waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by the reason of him that hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. That's the mighty hand of God. Did you see it? It didn't say mighty in there, but did you see the mighty hand of God? We will, all right, verse 21 again. Because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. What is that? That's the mighty hand of God. What's going to deliver me out of this bondage of corruption? Jesus the Christ. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? Praise God. I thank the Lord God for Jesus Christ. He's going to deliver. It's the mighty hand of God. And He wants us to know that we need to go through some stuff to be elevated to that place. We've got to go through to get there. You can't get there without going through. You've got to go through. And so the creature was made subject in verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth together in pain, until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit the redemption of the body. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doeth he hope for? But if hope be not seen, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself, or Himself, itself, maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He that searches the hearts knoweth the mind of the Spirit, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, to see the mighty hand of God there, who's making intercession for you? The Holy Spirit. Whose mighty hand's doing that? God. Amen? It's God's mighty hand doing that. We're going to go through some stuff. The Spirit's going to help our infirmities. The Spirit Himself is going to help us to get through our weaknesses. See, you think, well, I don't think I can go through it. Well, without God, you can. In fact, with man, it is impossible. But with God, how many things are possible?
All things.
But you've got to be willing to go through it. You've got to be prepared in your heart, in your mind, in your soul, that you're not going to get out of this thing. You're going to go through it. Why? That the mighty hand of God can be seen by a lost and dying generation. Why do we suffer? Why do good people suffer? Well, first of all, let me tell you this. There ain't none good. All right? There ain't no good people. All of us stink, rotten sinners. Ain't none of us good. No, not one. Right? So why do we suffer? Why do you see Christians dying in horrible ways out in Africa and soon here in America?
To glorify God.
That His mighty hand will be seen through the suffering of His children. That we could be glorified with Him. You don't get much of that preaching. Everybody talks about the glory. Nobody talks about the suffering. Everybody talks about the sweet by and by, but they don't talk about how you get by and by. It's the mighty hand of God that's going to deliver you through these things. It's the mighty hand of God that's going to send manna. It's the mighty hand of God that's going to open up the earth to swallow up the evil. It's the mighty hand of God that's going to deliver you either by living through it or dying in it. But you've got to be able, you've got to be willing, you've got to have your mindset that this is what God said. And I must go that way. It's the mighty hand of God that's going to do it. Science is not going to deliver you. Amen? Victory gardens. Amen? They're not going to get you through. Because right now, you look out at the Midwest, there's a horrible drought. Right? You look all over the world, there's a food shortage coming up. Oh, wow. Talks about that in the Revelation, doesn't it? Amen? That they're going to weigh out barley and wheat in scales. It also tells us in the Old Testament that there's coming a time that all you have isn't going to be enough. You're going to have the mighty hand of God supplying to make up what you can't do. Are you willing to go through that? If you ain't willing, you won't go through it. Not with God. Amen.
See, I want to go through it with God, because if I go through it with God, then I'm protected all the way through there. If I go through it with God, there is enough. God will take that little bitty handful of flour I have, and it'll last for 3.5 years, all right? He'll take that little bitty pile of beans, and I don't know how he does it. You take one pinto bean, you cut it up into 12 pieces, right? I don't know how he does it, but he took a couple loaves and a few fish, and he fed 5,000 people. I don't know how he does it, but that's the mighty hand of God and work in a real physical life.
Multiplies.
Amen. It's multiplied. It's not added to. It's multiplied. That's the mighty hand of God. But to understand that, to wrap your heart, you know, I'll get to the song in after a while, even if we sang one. I might preach for another 4 hours. Because I'm only on page 2.
Beginning step is he has to lead us.
Amen. Well, for the beginning step is you've got to fear him enough to follow.
Yes.
See, you've got to fear the Lord enough to do what He says. You've got to fear the Lord enough, because all of these 7 attributes of the Holy Spirit start with fearing God. All of them start with the fear of the Lord. If you want to have wisdom, you better fear the Lord. If you want to have knowledge of the Most High, you better fear the Lord. If you want the understanding of what's right and wrong, what's indifferent, you better fear the Lord. If you want the counsel of God, you want God to give you direction, you better fear Him enough to obey Him. Because as He tells you to do something, if you do it, He'll add to it. If you don't, you admit you're done. Quick as you say, no God. When you say no God, then He's no longer God to you. He's still God. But when you say no God, I don't want to do that, He says, fine, don't. To hell with you. Cutting it real short and lame, right? You don't want to follow me? You ain't got to follow me. You don't want to trust me? You ain't got to trust me. You have free will. You want to jump off the boat, swim with the sharks? Go ahead. God's no respecter of persons. He doesn't care about that. You know what He cares about? Will you obey me? If you will obey me, then I will show you my mighty hand. If you will obey me, when you jump off the world's boat, He'll make you walk on water. Amen? If you obey Him, you walk in the holiness of Him, when you run out of food, He'll have food aplenty for you. Maybe manna. I don't know what it is. That's what it's called. What is? I don't know how He'll do it, but He will do it if you obey Him, follow Him, walk in His righteousness. If you choose Him, He will choose you. Now, He chose you before the foundation of the world. But what are you doing with that? I trust my 401k more. Let me tell you, we got a financial gal back there. What are they worth? About half of what you put in, right? I got gold in my pocket, man. I went on findgold.com, you know, and I have gold. I'm going to make it through because I got $1 million worth of gold. No, you ain't.
Chip it off.
Scrape it. I need a file. Right? The mighty hand of God. And these are just the beginning statements. Next week I'll finish. Next week I'll really preach. Amen. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. I love you guys. Father, we thank you. We love you. We praise you, Lord God, for your goodness, your righteousness, your holiness. Father, I pray that as we've been here this morning, you have spoke to us in a real personal way.
Amen.
I pray, Father, that you are showing us that you are mighty, that you want us to understand the holiness and the might that you have. Father, you want us to see your provision in lean times. You want us to have that fountain of living water flowing out of us into eternal life. You want better for us than we can want for ourselves. But Lord, you're a holy God. You're righteous in all your ways. And you gave us free will. So God, I pray that you would change our minds from what we think into the righteousness that you have for us. Lord, that we would be a people group that is set apart from the darkness of this world into your glorious light. Father, set us on fire with the might and the glory and the grace of the Most High God. Let us be your church. Father, we love you. We
We praise you for those things. In Jesus' name, amen.